Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and this segment we call Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. We've been bringing it to you a long time, over 6 years now. It's brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Kuby Sausage House, and Kuby's Game Processing in Dallas. Larry's TV show, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT that I use for all of my night hunting, and the awesome Scissor Blind Elevated Work Platform for the farm or ranch by Innovative Equipment. Well, folks, it is now campfire talk time, and Mr. Larry Wysoon is right here with us at the campfire. Larry, thank you for being here, buddy.
My pleasure once again.
Well, thank you for every Saturday for the last 6 years being right here at this old campfire. Last week, we had a ball in last week's show. We were talking about catching those big catfish at Twakinen and David Hansen, you know, and we went kind of covered the bases on the catfishing trip and all that, and we alluded to the fact that after that catfishing trip, everyone got a good night's sleep. We had a big fish fry over at David Hansen's place, and he cooked us up a heck of a meal. And after a good night's rest, well, then the next morning, next day, we go down to Yanis, right out of Yanis on the upper end of Lake Fork up in, you know, I was looking at the map. It's called, well, there's Coffee Creek, Broad Creek, all those drainages up there. That's the area we were in. And we joined another friend of mine and now a good friend of yours, Jeff Rice, at his ranch up
there. Yes, sir.
It's not a commercial ranch, but he calls it the Buckin' Bass, and it is crawling with hogs, isn't it, Larry?
It really is. I tell you what, we were so fortunate to be able to go up there. Of course, Jeff fished with us, you know, the day before and caught an absolute monster fish. And I mentioned Rick Lambert. Now, I'm sure most people know probably who Rick is. Rick has Rick is from Lindale. They've got a place called the Crystal Pistol or the Pink Pistol, and he's got a little winery up there now too, and a tasting room called Hemingway's. So, and if you hadn't guessed by now, Rick's Miranda's dad, and he's a very, very dear friend of mine from several years now. And we're able to have Rick come up and spend some time with us as well too. Not only to hunt, but also he kind of likes to pick guitar a little bit, kind of like his daughter does. And he kind of, that night, I'll get back to the hogs in a second, but after a steak that was more of about a 4-pound roast for each of us,
that
Jeff prepared, and a baked potato that looked like a watermelon more than anything else.
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
Whew, I gained weight on that trip.
That was the best steak. The best steak that I personally have ever eaten. That thing was, you know, it was so big, thick, and all. I was like, well, it was tender. I mean, it was aged. He gets that right there in the butcher shop there in Yanis. He showed me. I know right where it's at. So I told him.
I do too now because I drove right by there. Because next time when I hit up that way, I'm gonna pick up several that he had made up.
Had them marinated, but he's such a great guy. I mean, we deal with a lot of great people.
We do.
Jeff Rice, he's from Wisconsin, and just, I mean, well, we don't, you know, I told him, I said, you just let this hosting thing flow. He said, this is fun to me, and he did. He enjoyed it every bit as much as we did, you know.
Well, I know we enjoyed it, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
But his place is very unique as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely fantastic. Kind of little bottoms all the way throughout it, and of course he's done a fabulous job on his walleye and for terms of management of the habitat. But I tell you, I was impressed in a lot of ways, not just the habitat that he has, but with the wild hogs that we saw there. I've had the opportunity to be with people when we were in Europe, particularly in Austria and Sweden, and some other places where guys I was with shot big boar. Now, I will tell you, I did not shoot one when I was there because a really big wild boar like I wanted to take costs more than almost any of the other animals that's there in that part of the world when you start paying for trophy fees or hunting rights. And so I didn't shoot one, but I was with a couple, three people that have. Those hogs that are there on Jeff's place in that area, the ones that I saw, and I saw about 20 walking in the first day, just in a situation where I couldn't get a shot, and including three or four really big boars. But those hogs are the exact duplicate of, or the exact hog that I saw when I was in Europe. They, to me, those look like truly Russian hogs, if you want to call them that, or the European wild boar. I was just totally amazed with how much they look like it with the very small nose. I'm talking about not the length of the snout, but the nose proper on those wild hogs there and in Europe is very small. The ears are very small and laid back. The tail is short. The body conformation was the same. And, of course, the hair color was exactly the same, that kind of grizzled brownish-gray. It kind of varies a little bit between hogs sometimes. But I promise you had that I didn't take one, but fortunately Jeff took one. And I'll let you tell that story in just a little bit. But the one that he took, I mean, had we picked that hog up and blindfolded guys and said, okay, and laid some out there that came out of Germany or Poland or Sweden or Norway or any of that country, laid them side by side, not even one of the Europeans could have pointed out the differences between those hogs or pointed out which hog was which. I was just truly impressed with the wild hogs that roam in that part of the country right there.
Boy, you know, one of my, I don't, you know, passions is honestly hogs. I just have a passion for hunting them and eating them and everything else. But but having a friend like you that is not just an avid hog hunter, but it's also a biologist, a wildlife biologist, Larry. I mean, you know, everybody like me, layman, you know, well, this or that with hogs, you can hear everything in the world about them. But you've helped me dispel some things on wild hogs. For instance, I didn't know. I knew they looked like a European boar. Mm-hmm. I just know, you know, right. I've seen in pictures, and I've actually been on some game ranches where they have the European blood and they have hybrids.
Yes.
You know, they have a European boar and breed it with the feral sows, you know. But these, that's what I was thinking, that they look so much. But the hair, you pointed out to me that those hogs are the one, the boar that he shot, you know, is kind of a woolly configuration, isn't it, in a way?
Mm-hmm.
Down, you know, close to the skin there. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, these hogs, like that one that Jeff shot, had that same under fur as what you see in Europe. I mean, exactly everything. I mean, the hair structure, the texture of the hair and the under fur on these hogs there in that, just north of Lake Fork. I mean, mm-hmm. They're in my estimation, or my guesstimate, or my opinion, whichever one of those three you want to choose, is that, I mean, they're exactly like the European wild hog. Again, I was truly impressed because to me, those Europeans really are kind of a pretty hog when you get right down to it. I know there's some people probably disagree in term of pretty or handsome, but to me, they are.
Good-looking hog. That's the way
we... Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Good-looking hog.
Now, a theory, could it be, and I know that I think everybody listening knows how hogs, the feral hogs, actually became established all over. But, you know, a lot of them, most of them were domestic. But there were isolated spots where European boar were fenced back in the 30s and all that and released, you know. I know a place, it was a pretty good ways from there up in Red River County where that happened. And that was before my time, but I was told that the hogs, somebody let them out or whatever. But that is not anywhere close to what people would think of as just a feral hog. I mean, it's not. Their domestic look is gone from those hogs, you know?
It really is. I mean, you look at, again, the body conformation, the head conformation, the straight tail, the small ears, the small actual nose part of it. I mean, and everything about those hogs looks exactly like what you find in, you know, across the water over in Europe. And evidently somewhere, maybe in that area, there's somebody that had some that released some years ago, or maybe they had a bunch of people brought in some boars and says, hey, we're going to try to quote-unquote upgrade, mm-hmm. you know, the local Pontywood rooter. And yep. And that particular strain of hog that looks like those European hogs has become, at least on that property where we were, and I suspect in that area, the dominant type of a wild hog that's there. And, I mean, to me, they're just absolutely beautiful.
That's the first time I've ever hunted them right there in Wood County, Larry. In that or that type of hog, those hogs. I've hunted
yes.
50 miles from there, you know. But I'm excited to. I'm going to talk to Jeff some more. He's killed they hunt hogs, you know, they don't over-pressure them, but I want to know more about the ones he's taken, you know, and I want to talk
to them. You know, I looked at several photographs, and they all pretty much look exactly the same. There was one trail camera photo he had. It looked like it might have been like a board that may have had some spots on him, but mm-hmm. everything that I saw walking in and walking out looked exactly like the boar that Jeff killed. And that said, while I was up there, next time I come up, and I am coming back up, I'm going to bring, instead of my Ruger number 1 275 Rigby, that's 7x57 when you get right down to it. Next mm-hmm. time I come up, I'm going to for sure bring either my 405 Winchester or 450 400 any number 1 with the Hornady ammo, because that pressure is really thick. And I mention that mainly because, too, the Jeff shot the one that he did with a unique, I don't know whether to call it, let's just call it archery equipment. Maybe you can fill me in a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it was unique, and it's pretty a new concept, folks. It's I think people that listen to the show, you hear me talking, folks, about the big bore air guns. I mean, we used an Air Force Texan. There was a Renegade. I'm talking about a bull that was about to hurt somebody, a Zebu. Back in the summer, and we used this 350 grain bullet in this 45 caliber Air Force Air Guns Texan. And Larry, that I didn't bill it as any kind of a hunt, although it was, but I didn't. It was a Zebu, you know, a bovine.
Right.
And but this thing had come close to hurting a couple of guys on Mark's place, and he had to go. But he was fat as a seal, made some great meat, you know. But that thing, I had a friend of mine shoot it while I was taking pictures, and that thing, those big boars have the power to, that the thing went 30 feet and his feet was up in
the air. Amazing.
It was done. I mean, but we were shooting, Jeff, I brought down a Dragon Claw 50 caliber. It's an air gun that shoots 50 caliber round ball, or it'll shoot a 50 caliber, you know, bullet, like a, mm-hmm. You know, like a muzzle loader type of bullet,
right,
you might
like
say.
A,
yeah.
Like Sabo or conical.
Yes, sir. Yep. Just a lead bullet. Or it will shoot an air bolt. Pyramid Air sent that down to me. The air bolt is a new concept. It sticks down in the rifling, it twists down in there, it's got fletching on it, you screw a broadhead on it, and it's that's what he shot that hog with. And that hog, I helped him drag it out, it went about 12 feet, you know, but
yeah.
he made a perfect shot on it, he did. Larry, you know, we are, I hate to say it, we're out of time for our campfire deal this week, but you're going to be right back here with me, and we're going to be talking some more with our friends, and no telling what the topic will be, but it's going to be fun. So how about we kick the campfire out this week and vow to join everybody right here next week at the same time.
Absolutely. Just from folks quickly to watch DSC Trail and the Hunter's Moon on Sunday night on Sportsman Channel. But appreciate it. We'll see everybody here around the campfire next time.
That's right, Larry. And, folks, we are just about out of time. Larry and I are going to be right here with you next week. I want to remind you about his weekly TV show, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, on the Sportsman's Channel. Make sure and tune into that.
Folks, if you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter Supply. Now, Hunter Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken a Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter's Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets.
Folks, if you hunt hogs very much, I probably don't need to tell you that they become almost entirely nocturnal with the least bit of pressure. I use a Photon XT night scope. Actually, you can use the Photon during the day. I've actually sighted mine in during the daylight hours. You can shoot with it just as well during the daylight hours as you can at night. But at night, it becomes really golden. You can buy the Photon XT for around $500. I'll direct you where you can find it and look at it. Go online to sightmark.com. Click All Products and then Night Vision, and then look at the Photon XT. It's an affordable unit. There's all kind of different night hunting options when you get there, binoculars, everything that you can imagine for hunting at night. Just go online to sitemark.com and learn all about it. Folks, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention this year, I discovered an awesome new scissor blind made by Innovative Equipment. Now, you can mount this onto your UTV. You can go out to your hunting area, and it'll raise you up to 18 feet in elevation above the mesquite trees or whatever you're hunting in. Makes an awesome hunting blind. Comes with a camo netting around it, you know. But it's also a very, very stable work platform for your farm or ranch. It has outriggers that make it really stable and level, all automatic. They put me up in it in the Dallas Safari Club, and I was very impressed with it. But check it out online at iequpt.com, iequpt.com, or call 888-359-3002. Locate a dealer near you and go and check these out. I guarantee you you'll like them. Folks, if you're having trouble with your feeders, I want to hook you up with Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. Carl makes a line of feeders that I've been using them for, gosh, well over 12 years, maybe a little bit more than that. They work every time. He also makes the timer that is easy to set, goes off every time. You can set it on multiple feedings. And he also makes the eliminator. Now, the eliminator mounts to the quarter-inch spinner shaft off the motor and works on centrifugal force. It seals the flow of corn off completely when the feeder stops spinning. So, you know, that combination is a winning deal. Go online to ultramaticfeeders.com, check them out, or just give Carl a call at 877-428-4637.